this week reading a book that I read before, and it just hit me completely different this time. So I'm going to share this with you. It's called Relentless by Tim Grover. He was the trainer for Michael Jordan, for Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. He's the man who worked with most elite athletes, the most elite athletes on the planet. He spent decades studying what actually separates the people who are great from the people who are the best. And he breaks people down into three categories. He calls them the coolers, the closers, or the cleaners. I got to the cleaner section and I was just stunned. It wasn't even new information, you guys, but it suddenly was a mirror for me because everything that Grover says about what a cleaner is and how a cleaner operates and what a cleaner refuses to do, I recognize that. And not as an aspiration, but as a description of who I already am and who I've sometimes talked myself out of being when shit gets hard. So this is what today's episode's going to be about what Grover's framework reminded me of about myself and what I think it's going to remind you of about yourself. Because I don't think that you're a cooler, okay? I think you've been operating like one while the cleaner has been waiting inside of you the whole time. You guys, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. I am Brandon Lynette. I'm your voice authority podcast coach. Your mess is your message and your potential is your purpose. So get the fuck over yourself and go build it. I do want to give Tim Grover his full credit, okay? Relentless is one of the most honest books about elite performance ever written. If you have not read it, please get this book. This episode is not a summary of the book. It is what the book cracked open in me when I read it on the beach. And I think it's going to be something that's going to help crack something open in you. So I want to use his framework as the foundation because it's the right framework. And then I want to be able to take it somewhere for you that's specifically about what it means for you and the work you're supposed to be doing and the version of yourself that you've been managing down. Before we go in today, you guys know that today is brought to you by Super Patch. And do I have a victory patch here? Yes, I do. Victory today. Because what Grover talks about in Relentless, that internal fire that does not require outside conditions to sustain itself, that is what victory supports. Enhanced performance, strength, stamina, neurofunction, your body and brain operating at the level the calling is requiring of you. These are drug-free, ingredient-free, made in the United States of America. It's a vibrotactile technology working directly through your nervous system, communicating to your brain. So let me give you the framework of this book so you can find yourself in this space honestly, okay? Grover says here, he writes that there are three types of people when pressure arrives. We've got the cooler, he's talented. The cooler is often the most naturally gifted person in the room, but the cooler needs the conditions to be right before the best version shows up. So the cooler is going to perform well when shit's going well. When the pressure spikes, the cooler looks to someone else to handle it. And it's not even out of malice, it's just out of a fundamental orientation towards comfort that talent cannot override. Then we've got the closer, who is better than the cooler because the closer can deliver when that shit counts. The closer has proven it, but the closer is motivated by that external fuel, by the crowd, the paycheck, the recognition, the stakes being visible enough to activate the performance. You take away the external stakes and the closer is much less predictable. The closer needs something to close toward, something on the outside to reach for, and without it, the drive will be inconsistent. And then we have the cleaner. The cleaner is different at the foundation, not just skill level, but I mean in wiring. The cleaner does not need a fire lit from outside because the fire is already burning from inside. The cleaner does not perform for the crowd because the crowd is irrelevant to whether the cleaner is going to show up. The cleaner does not need the conditions to be favorable, does not need the external validation, does not need to see the outcome clearly before committing to the work. The cleaner just goes because going is who the cleaner is. And this is the part of Grover's framework that I really sat with on the beach this week. The cleaner is not the most talented person in every room. The cleaner is the standard that the room operates around. The cleaner establishes what showing up actually looks like, and everyone around the cleaner rises to it or gets left behind it. But either way, the standard is absolutely set. And I think you guys, if we just kind of ruminate on that for a second, I think most of you are not coolers. I think you've been operating like a closer at best. Like you're motivated by external stakes that are inconsistent, they're unreliable. You need the conditions that are rarely perfect, performing when the recognition is visible, and then you pull back when it's not. And I think there is a cleaner in there waiting. Probably has been waiting for a while. So I want to talk about what it takes to let the cleaner the fuck out. How can we release the cleaner? 118, page 118. If you guys want to find that page, you could probably even just search it up. He's writing about how a cleaner handles mistakes. And I think this concept is huge because I think it's the part that changes people. He says, when a cooler makes a mistake, there's a lot of excuses and no solutions. But when a closer makes a mistake, there is always someone else to blame. When a cleaner makes a mistake, the cleaner looks you in the eye and says, I fucked up. Like, that's it. Confident, simple, factual, no explanation. You made a mistake. You say so in one sentence. You take responsibility and you move the fuck on. And he writes that the fastest way to alleviate pressure is to just say it. You fucked up. Say it. There is no comeback for that. You owned your shit. Now, what the fuck are we gonna do? Let's fix it. This is perfect. I love this. This is how I've worked, and I just haven't had the words for it or the way to express it. And I think this is where most people leak the most energy and the most authority. It's not in the big public failures, it's in the small everyday shit where something goes wrong. And the instinct is to explain it, to contextualize it, to defend it, to give the reasons why it happened in a way that kind of makes the accountability softer. Before responsibility is even acknowledged. And every time you do that, every time the explanation comes out before the ownership, you signal something to everyone around you and yourself that ownership is conditional, that the responsibility needs to be earned rather than automatic, that you are a closer looking for someone else to share the blame with, not a cleaner who can look at the situation in the eye and say, I did that, now I'm fixing it. The cleaner doesn't carry an explanation around. The cleaner sets it the fuck down immediately, picks up a solution. And this is hard for most people, and it matters a lot physiologically that you understand the mechanisms, like I talk about. When you make a mistake, your brain's threat response, it does fire. So the amygdala reads the potential judgment or the consequence as danger, and the nervous system prepares to defend. That's why the explanation comes out automatically. Like you don't think, you're just like, bleh. It's not dishonesty. It's your nervous system trying to protect you from a perceived threat, preemptively softening the blow. This is going to hurt a lot less if we explain. So, the explanation is a nervous system protection strategy. It is your body buying time between the mistake and the accountability, hoping that enough context can reduce the perceived threat of the judgment that's coming. But the problem is the explanation costs you more than the accountability. Every second you spend explaining is the second your nervous system is staying in that defense brace state, like, holy fuck, holy fuck. The explanation prolongs the threat response, the accountability ends it. It's over. When you can clearly say, I fucked up, you say that clean and fast. And you guys, I know I've talked to you about this several times. Like, this is, I come to God and I'm like, dear God, I fucked up. That's it. What can I say? Does he want my explanation? No. It's fast, it's clean. And when that happens, something physiological happens. Like, your defensive state just releases. Your nervous system gets the signal that the threat is owned and it's not active, and then you can move back into your parasympathetic state, your problem solving state, the state where you can actually think clearly about how to fix shit. And what Grover observes in the cleaners, they solve problems faster. And it's not because they're smarter, it's because they're not spending time in the fucking explanation. They name the problem, they own it. They own it, and their nervous system clears fast enough to let the solution part of the brain start thinking clearly immediately. The cleaner's brain has learned through repeated practice of immediate accountability that ownership is safe, that the threat of the mistake is smaller when acknowledged than when it's defended. And the neural pathway from mistake to ownership is so well worn in the cleaner that it runs automatically. The explanation pathway gets weaker from disuse, and the accountability pathway just gets strong as fuck because you've been practicing. You can build that same pathway. Every single time you catch the explanation rising and you replace it with ownership instead, you're building it. And it feels wrong at first because the protection response is strong. It gets easier because the pathway gets stronger, and eventually ownership becomes the automatic response. The explanation stops feeling like the natural first move because accountability is faster and cleaner and it costs less. Your nervous system wants to relax. Accountability relaxes it faster than any explanation ever will. And the other page that I kept coming back to on the beach is this. Grover says the only way you can light other people on fire is to be lit yourself. And the only way to be lit yourself is from the inside. Professional, cool, focused. If you had a bad night and you cannot show up the next day ready to go, that does not just affect you, it affects everybody around you. And I think this is one of the most under-discussed costs of sitting on your fucking potential. You already know what it's costing you. The Sunday night wait, that fucking flat Tuesday being productive in the wrong direction, doing the wrong shit, that low grade drain of operating from less than the full fucking version of yourself. You have felt that. And what Grover is saying is that the cost to everyone else, he's pointing that out, the people who are supposed to be lit by your fire, the podcast listener who needed to hear the episode you talked to yourself out of recording. The client who needed the coaching you decided you were not ready to offer yet, or the person in your community who's watching you to see if someone like them could build shit. Your unbuilt shit is not a private decision, it's a public cost. And the people who were supposed to be lit by your fire, they're just sitting in the fucking dark right now because you've been managing your flame down to a level that feels super safe and you're not exposing shit or you're not claiming shit. The cleaner doesn't need a fire lit from the outside. The fire is burning. The question is whether you're letting it burn or if you're managing it down because full fire is uncomfortable and exposed and might be too much. Let that bitch burn. That's the instruction. That's the instruction from the man who works with the elites, Tim Grover. Let me know on the beach and I'm sharing it with you. Let that shit burn. There have been seasons in the shit that I've built, seasons that you've heard me reference on the show where, y'all, I was not operating as a cleaner, where I was waiting for conditions that were more favorable before I let my voice come out, where I was explaining shit that should have just been owned and moved on to the solution, where the fire is burning, but like I made it really calm. I didn't let that shit blaze. Reading this book just reminded me of something that I know about myself that I sometimes lose track of in the middle of shit. I'm not a closer. I don't need external stakes to show up. I don't give a fuck about everything outside of me. I don't need the crowd or the metrics or the conditions to be favorable. And what's the fucking truth? It never has. I'm not doing this for the accolades. When I am operating from who the fuck I actually am, I show up because showing up is who I am. That is it. That is it. People ask, how do you show up if you know that there's not someone listening to the show? I got an internal fire, babe. I set the standard, and the standard is mine. That's just who I am. And that reminder just hit me like it's a reset. It wasn't even, it's not, I'm not talking, you guys. I'm not like, oh shit, I'm motivated until Tuesday. Okay. That was not the spike. The spike was, oh yeah, I remember who I am. It's just that return to the baseline of who I am. Without letting any season of my life tell me who to be. That's what reading does when you're reading the right shit at the right time. Because I read that book before and I couldn't have really told you about it. I know he worked with, Michael Jackson and Kobe, and I read this after Kobe had died. And nothing really stuck out with me. And so it's incredible to me. Now I'm gonna just start rereading all the books I have. Like that's I'm doing that. No more new books till I do a second reread. I guess it's like the same thing when I read the Bible. Every single time I see something different and I learn something new, three times in, and I think I could read that Bible for the rest of my life and I'm always going to find something new. It's crazy because if you read shit at the right time, it's not even new information. It's going to give you back to yourself. So if you haven't read Relentless, I say read it. And I'm not a sports junkie, so I wasn't like, So when you read it, you don't have to read it as a framework for an athlete, okay? I want you to look at this book as a mirror. Like, find yourself in the pages and then ask honestly, like, cooler, closer, or cleaner. And if there's a cleaner in there that's been operating like a closer because that full version is scary as fuck, then this episode is your chance to reset. It's your chance to reset. And I have interviews with people who talk about this all the time. They have the performance self, who they thought they needed to be, who showed up when conditions are right, when audience was engaging, and how many people walked away from businesses because they weren't getting that validation. But then the real version of them shows up, and it's the same thing. They're taking that shift from closer to cleaner and not needing the accolades. I see this so consistently in Tell Me Why You're Special. In every guest I have, they don't get the reaction from the polished performance bullshit. When we're trying to pretend what we think other people want us to be, when we're looking at everybody else and everything else to decide how we're going to show up, who we're going to be, it changes everything. You start looking at yourself and remember who you are, and there is this just unapologetic power. I've trained my brain so much. There is no apology. There is no, you knew me a year ago, you don't know me today. I'm not that same person. That's our job. Grow, evolve, and show up as the person you are. Let your fire burn. Yeah, guess what, you guys? It's very apparent. A lot of people hate my fire. And it's never hurt me. It doesn't hurt me. It's so hot, you can't touch it. And I am safe. I am protected. I am chosen. I am loved. So, no matter what the worst case scenario is, if you really show the fuck up and you give this your all and you become the cleaner, you are just as safe. You are just as protected. And it doesn't matter what other people think. I don't celebrate the good or the I don't focus on the bad or get celebrated with the good. I don't. I appreciate the nice comments. I appreciate every once in a while I get the words of affirmation. I think that's incredible. I love that. I love words of affirmation. I'm not telling you guys don't ever gas me up, okay? But nothing depends on that anymore. If I never heard another word from anyone, I'd still be me. I'd still show up. If I only heard bad shit from people, I'd still show up. I'd still be here. Finding my voice was a lesson and a blessing. I lost a lot of people along the way, and people showed me who they were. And on the other side of that, we're still here. We're fine. My boy David was a shepherd. Nobody's idea of a cleaner by the world's external metrics. You guys know David I'm talking about, right? You know what David I'm talking about. He had no armor, no military training, no resume that would have put him in a room with Goliath by any conventional standard. But when Goliath stood there and the whole trained army of Israel was frozen in fear, waiting for conditions that would make the fight more favorable, David didn't wait for conditions. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Not who gave me permission to fight, not who is going to validate the decision, this decision. Not let me get more training first and come back when I'm ready. Who is this guy?" And he walked out with a sling and five smooth stones and the internal fire of someone who didn't need external conditions to know exactly who he was and what he was there to do. Babe, that is the cleaner. Not the most equipped person on the field, the one whose fire comes from a source that doesn't require the crowd or conditions or favorable outcome to stay lit. The army was full of closers waiting for the conditions to improve. David was a cleaner before he ever became a king. The internal fire was there from the beginning. The title and the recognition came after the behavior that already reflected his identity. The cleaner identity comes before you get the credentials. The fire burns before the recognition arrives. That's the whole point. What does being a cleaner look like in your actual life? That's recording the episode on a Tuesday where nothing has gone right because you're the kind of person who records the episode no matter what. Not when conditions are favorable, because that's who you are. Being a cleaner is owning your shit in one sentence and moving past it. Not the explanation, not the context, not the reasons that soften the accountability before it gets fully offered. I fucked up. I'm gonna fix it. That's it. Being, it looks like your standard being yours rather than borrowing it from what everybody outside of you expects from you. The cleaner sets the standard and the room adapts to it. The closer adapts to the room. So if you think about that, which one have you been doing? Being a cleaner looks like that fire burning even when no one's watching, especially when no one is watching, because that fire that only burns for an audience is not a cleaner's fire. That's a closer's performance. It's a show. It's a facade. It's fake. That cleaner's fire burns on the days with no metrics moving and no audience engaged and nothing external to close toward. It burns because it's internal and it doesn't have another option. Being a cleaner means you don't have to explain yourself to everyone who questions your direction. The cleaner knows the direction. The cleaner moves. The explanation is for people who are not sure of their footing. The cleaner's footing is sure because the fire. Babe, that fire again. Fuck the confirmation. You don't need that to stay lit. So read the book, or maybe you need to reread it the way I just reread it, looking for yourself in that page. Find where you are and then be honest about what you find. Cooler, closer, cleaner. You honestly know which one you're closest to right now. But this week, practice the one sentence accountability. The next time something goes wrong in your world, whether it's professionally or personally, catch the explanation before it comes out and then replace it with ownership. I got that wrong. I'm fixing it. Let your nervous system experience what it feels like to clear the threat fast by owning it clean instead of defending it. Okay. And babe, let the fire burn. Whatever you've been watering down because full fire feels like too much to claim, too exposed, too much promised, let that shit burn this week. One episode recorded with your shit just on fire on the inside, one piece of content from the real version of who you are, one moment of showing the fuck up as the cleaner instead of a closer. The people who were supposed to be lit by your fire are waiting. Let it burn. Grover spent decades watching the most elite performers on the planet, and what he found was not that they were the most talented, it's that the fire came from the inside. That accountability was automatic, that conditions were irrelevant to whether they showed up, that the standard was theirs and the room adapted to it. That is not a description of a category of elite athletes you can only admire from a distance. That's a description of who you are when you stop playing small. I love it. Read the book on the beach last week and it was an accidental grab. I wasn't even reaching for that book on my shelf. And it reminded me of who the fuck I am, not who I'm trying to become, who I already am when I stop letting the season tell me to be small. And I think it really might do the same for you. So read Relentless. Tim Grover, thank you for the book. And then why don't you guys come back here and build from the cleaner that's been waiting inside of you? The podcast, the message, the fire that lights the people around you on fire. That's the work. That's what I help you build. Check the show notes. I have an awesome podcast quiz for you to see what kind of podcaster you are, just for fun. If you've ever thought about doing a podcast or you think, I don't know if I could, take the quiz. And let me know what you come up with or how that works out for you. Okay? You guys better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today. That's like your whole assignment. Love you.